So this is kind of an interesting scripture, right? We know this story if we've ever followed the musical Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, or we know the stories of Joseph and his many-colored coat. It's a common one Sunday school story, right? We hear about the story. But this is kind of a complicated story. Joseph and his brothers have a really complex relationship. You know, Joseph is known to be the favorite. He's the one that's left behind when the brothers go off to tend the sheep. And Joseph's father sends Joseph out as the youngest. He's 17. Go out, find your brothers, find out what's going on, and come back and let me know. So Joseph heads out, and the brothers aren't where they're supposed to be. So he asks the people in the area, where are my brothers? And they say, oh, they've gone out to this other place. And so he heads out there, but the way the geography is such that they can see him coming from a long distance. And so they start talking about him, you know, like jealous brothers might. Oh, that Joseph, he's dad's favorite. What can we do? We got to get rid of him. He's got a big head. He's got all these ideas. He's dreaming these dreams. What are we going to do? This is not okay. So they conspire to kill him. To me, that seems a little extreme, but this is their plan. But one brother, Reuben, steps up and says, yeah, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him in this pit. And Reuben, the story goes, had this idea so that Reuben would go back, save Joseph, and bring him back to their father so dad could take care of him. So the brothers decide this is an okay plan. And so when Joseph comes along, they take his fancy coat, they throw him into the pit where there's no water, it's empty, and they sit down for a nice lunch. Well, I can see there's some problems bubbling up already. I can just sort of imagine this. I'm one of five daughters. So I don't have brothers, but I do know the jealousy of sisters and of siblings and how those relationships can get tricky at times. But Joseph is here in this pit and they're sitting and having lunch and these strangers walk by and one of the brothers has an idea. Hey, let's not kill him and have to lie to our father. Let's not just leave him in the pit to starve. Let's not just leave him here so Reuben can sneak him back to dad. Let's make some money on this situation and let's sell him into slavery. What a great plan. And so they do that. And that's the end of the scripture that we read today. So like I said, I'm one of five siblings. I'm the second oldest of five girls. And we're all really quite close. We're close friends now as adults. And as kids, we would fuss and fight, but nothing was ever really significant, except maybe the time when my sister eloped on the way to my wedding. Yeah, that wasn't so good. That strained our relationship for a while, but I was never ready to kill her or sell her into slavery. I just was pretty mad. But we worked through that, and now we are the closest of friends. It takes some time, but it's all good. But I also read the scripture in a more macro sense, in the sense of looking at our society and how we are living in this very difficult time of pandemic, right? Everything that we know to be normal is sort of thrown up in the air. And the disparity between those that have and those that have not is growing exponentially day by day. And it leaves us in this situation that their jealousies form, tensions are high, relations are strained. I see so much going on in our society that feels a lot like the traditional stages, excuse me, of grief. I see the anger and the denial. I see the bargaining and the despair and the processing and and some moving to acceptance. But there's these conflicts and that are constantly aggravated by the political climate, by the strain in the contradiction between folks who are committed to actions out of love for the community and choosing the greatest good is to be caring for others versus another perspective that, excuse me, let me drink a little. Another perspective that's saying my personal rights are being infringed upon to be asked to wear a mask or to limit my activities or to refrain from what makes me feel good. And we live in this society where we are connected as siblings. And I see how it's even how that has played out with the Black Lives Matter movement that has erupted in a new version. This is not a new story, but a new iteration of this story feels even bigger in the context of this pandemic and the stress that we're all going through and the anxiety we feel between one another that we name and we don't name. And so there's this approach. Can you see this story that we hear playing out in our world? The father figure loves one of the children and privileges this one part of the family most. And the rest of the family is out working. And we start, and this all plays out in these complicated sorts of ways. And so we decide that the best option is to kill one another. And I've got to think that's not the best option. Or let's go for another option. The other option presented in the story is throw those that we're upset with in the pit. And then maybe collect them later and take them back to the authority, the father figure, the daddy to take care of. And then the third option presented in the story is to wait for strangers to come by and sell our brother into slavery. So we look at the decisions that are being made in our school districts about how to open schools and how to make school a possibility. And those with money are talking about how we can bring shared groups together and maybe three or four families join together into a co-op and hire a teacher that can lead this co-op of students, a one-room schoolhouse kind of model. But those that have not are those that are most likely to be required to physically attend their job, that there's no remote work possible for most of those, especially in the service industries. And those children don't have money to be able to pay for private tutors. Their parents can't be home. So who is going to be caring for and watching these kids? The few places where childcare is available, it's very expensive, and it is, there tends to be a turnover in a lot of kids, right? There tend to be a lot of children around, which increases the exposure. So even if we do this model of the hybrid school idea, right, where school is open in person sometimes and closed and not, well, then how do we handle those kids that are then, they're not home with their family in isolation, they're out with another group of kids. So how does that change the dynamic of the pandemic effect? There are so many complicating factors when we don't focus on what really matters and how do we care for the least of these. The solution is not to act out of judgment and to not to act out of privilege, but how do we find a way to act like Reuben out of compassion and love? Trying to find a solution that will particularly care for the least of these. How do we do that? And how do we step up and live out our faith, saying that the primary calling we have as Christians is to love our neighbor as ourselves? How do we do that in the face of a pandemic? How do we do that by wearing masks wherever we go? How do we do that by advocating for our children, especially our poorest children? How do we do that by protecting our brothers and sisters, our BIPOC brothers and sisters, those who are most oppressed in our society? How do we do that by studying and recognizing and looking at our own privilege to see how that is shaping and changing our decisions and how we live in the world? Clearly, I have a lot of questions. And today I have more questions for you than I have answers. But as we remember how this story plays out, right? This tragedy that the brothers thought they were putting on Joseph ended up full circle with Joseph bringing new life into his world and for his people. May we find ways that open our hearts, that take a bad situation and find the good, that we can find how to step out in faith and make a difference for our brothers and sisters, not out of jealousy, not out of fear of scarcity, but out of love and care and finding enough ways to advocate for those without a voice and make a difference in the world for all of us. Thanks be to God.